Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to Almost a Podcast, episode 185 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello. 15th of December.
Yeah.
1 week to Santa. Yeah. No, 10 days to Santa.
10 days to Santa.
10 days to Santa. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking a bit about Paul's recent Battlefield Hobby GT.
Yeah.
Which was going to be a Coventry event, I think, or something, wasn't it?
Leicester event. Leicester, yeah. And this was the alternative.
This was the alternative. Mm-hmm. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the Rules Committee and some random stuff to keep up to date with what's going on in the wide world.
Mm-hmm.
Might get another one in before the end of the year. Don't know. Might not.
Yep.
We'll see how it goes. I don't know. I got my exam invigilator's job starting in the new year, so that's interesting.
How long is that for?
So it's about 20 hours a week during exam times, but that includes mock exam time, so...
Is that literally the sound standing in a room making sure no one cheats?
Yeah, like a referee.
Your referee, yeah. Did you see about that referee?
Did you watch a video?
I didn't see a video of it.
Yeah, he gets kicked in the head a couple of
times.
What
is going on there? Tell me.
Well, they weren't very happy with his decisions, I guess. I think he sent two players off, and I think it was a controversial last-minute equaliser. So it wasn't even as if one team had won and one had lost. It was just a draw.
Right, okay.
And the guy was the club president. So not just some random schmo.
Oh.
And he ran on and lamped him. And in his explanation, he said, "I didn't mean to go on and hit him. I was just meant to spit in his face."
Which is fine.
Which is common assault in the UK, yeah. Right? So it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think he's been resigned. He's been banned from football.
Quite right.
Yeah, and I think
because you do refereeing, football refereeing.
I used to. I don't do it anymore.
Oh okay. Oh, you stopped doing that.
No, I'm still
for kids. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still linesman occasionally, or assistant referee as it's called now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I did referee in London.
Yeah.
And one week the whole of the Turkish league's been closed down.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy's been banned from football for life. The club have got a fine and have to play 5 matches behind closed doors. And he's still got to go through the Turkish courts, I believe. Because in the UK, you'd be lucky not to get a sentence for that. Yeah, at least a suspended sentence.
Because it's an assault.
Probably would have only been suspended. Although, the fact it was like filmed live.
Yeah.
And after, because he one punched him and knocked him down and fractured his eye socket. And then he got kicked in the head a couple of times when he was down.
Bloody hell.
Mad, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Where did that one come from? That conversation.
What? Because
The referee.
Referee.
Yeah, yeah. Exam referee. Mm-hmm. So that's good. It's not that many hours a year, but it's summing, and it meant that I could get rid of this nonsense. Because do you know Curry's PC World? I don't mind calling these wankers out.
Go on.
Dixon's Group, as it used to be when I worked for them.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
They were awful to work for.
Yeah.
And they're awful to have to deal with as a customer if you ever have to complain. Mm-hmm. Anyway. I couldn't get a reference from them. I couldn't even get a phone number or an email contact to get a reference from them.
Yeah, but this is from working for them for how long ago?
Oh, 18 years.
18 years, yeah. So, is that surprised you that you couldn't?
They didn't know it was 18 years ago.
Oh, okay, right, okay, got it.
So I just physically couldn't do it. So, it ended up that for this job, they abandoned even trying to get that reference, even though they needed to get that reference, and just went for two personal references, because it was impossible.
I mean,
legally, you should have to give a reference or at least a statement of employment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I knew it was going to be hard, which is kind of one of the reasons I didn't really try that hard to get back into paid employment.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing about the exam invigilation is that it's PAYE, so I get my pension contributions, which is what it's really about.
Oh, okay.
For me.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. I'm semi-retired now at 53, so
hard life you've had, Barry.
Well, it's tough. I mean, my youngest is 13 now, so I really can't justify being at home just to.
Well, some people, people do, right? They just don't want to work.
yes. So that'd be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. Although he was really unhappy, my boy, because it's at the local school.
Right. Yeah.
Chelsea.
Oh, so you're going to invigilate him?
Yeah. So no. No, I won't be allowed to do that.
No, of course not. I suppose not.
But it means I can go home and walk the dog and stuff at lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
He was very unhappy. I said to him that I'll potentially be working here long after you've left.
Hang on, yeah, why is he unhappy? Why is he?
Because he doesn't want his dad in school. This is secondary school. This is like proper stuff.
Yeah, but you're not going to interact much with him, are you?
No, hopefully never.
Yeah, exactly. So just tell him to jog on.
Yeah, pull your neck in. Pull your neck in, bastard. Yeah. And he's not a bastard. I call him a bastard. So another thing is Blackgate's back. I couldn't be asked for the work involved with Mythic moving, so I just ponied up another couple of hundred.
Oh, you did? Okay. So your apathy has benefits. Like,
not the best benefits to Jim, though. The web company.
Yeah, like, can always entrust on Barry to do the least thing.
I'll do the least thing. It was like, it was a lot of work moving to eBay.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the problems I'm having is A, the fucking cost of Royal Mail, which are just absolutely getting fucking ridiculous.
What is have they increased them again recently?
Yeah, in October.
Like, because I now know a second class parcel is £3. Like,
yeah, but that's the UK.
That's the UK, yeah.
So I do free post to Europe and America.
Yeah. Ooh. You free post.
Free post over £120 or £90 or whatever, or £60, whatever the spend is. So it's like, dealing with this and with eBay and stuff, this is just fucking hard work, and then the tax implications, and it's just like, just keep it simple. At the moment, you know, it goes through my website, the money comes in, I just post it out, and just eat whatever costs there are. But adding eBay to the costs is just a whole new level, because they want 12.5% of everything as well. Anyway, so another year. We'll see what comes around next year. We'll see what state we're in. Well, I'm certainly not going to be going on. I'm retiring on the money coming from Blackgate.
No, but I guess that if the easiest thing is for you to do nothing, then I'd probably place my money on that. That's what Barry will do. It's the easiest thing.
So it's not quite that I worked. Well, it's not really worked, is it? But the Blackgate existed a year just to pay its web bill, but it wasn't far off. It wasn't far off. Anyway, and then the next thing we've got to talk about is we discussed an Android app last. And we thought it was the War Master List Builder app, which of course it isn't.
Okay.
Do you know which app it is?
What are you talking about?
I'm going to have to try and get into
it. Because I used Best Coast, part of this event, I used Best Coast Pairings to run a tournament. So, like, something I was going to talk about on camera. Okay. What's this? Oh, that's that. War Master Revolution Companion. What?
What
is this? Somebody's done an app.
Yeah.
Is it on Apple? Can you get it?
I think so. It's called WMR Companion.
I'm going to look at it now.
And it's 1.2.31. Somebody did contact me on Facebook, but I'm using my phone to record and also trying to look at this app.
What's it called?
WMR Companion.
Companion.
From lmdevelopment.2022@gmail.com or something. Special thanks to the entire War Master Revolutions community for keeping this game alive.
Ooh, right.
Special mentions to Forest Dragon, Omninonji, K Roth, Paintera, oh my god, Prezemas, M Hobbies Hardy.
Right.
But it's thanks.
Okay.
This is a non commercial fan made project. I have no affiliation. And it basically has got an army builder.
Yeah.
And a game tracker.
Oh, fantastic. The game tracker would be handy.
I just crashed. Please don't crash the bloody... Mm-hmm. Right, so I'm going to come off this so I can carry on with my recording. So the game tracker and a list builder.
Yeah.
And apparently, if you want to talk about this, you need to get onto the War Master Discord.
Yeah.
Which I don't do Discord.
But there
is a War Master... Is it a revolution or just a straight War Master? I don't know. Yeah. But there's a Discord. So get yourself on Discord. You'll find the community there and have a play with this app.
Fantastic. I mean, a game tracker would be quite good. Yeah.
I'm sure it's on that.
Yeah. When I come to the event, I'll talk about how I ran it. Yeah.
It's not an event tracker.
No, I've got something to say about that.
Okay, yeah, cool. Right, okay. And then we've also had a listener. So we're getting all the stuff out of the way. Well done, whoever did that app, and well done, whoever brought that app to my attention. And then back to my attention when I talked about the wrong app. So we have... a contact from a listener to Paul around ideas.
Yeah.
Which is always good. I mean, after 185 episodes, it is quite difficult to keep coming up with shit to talk about that aren't just events.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we had a listener contact Paul.
It's a guy in America. Andrew Wodoslawski. Hello, Paul. In your last episode, you asked for some ideas for new episodes and brainstorm. One, What timing systems different different tournament organisers use and why?
Oh, that's a good conversation in itself.
Two, how to win with the series, where you interview someone that won or scored well with at an event with X Army and discuss what strategy works in life. Well, we're about to talk about that right now.
How to win with?
How to win with.
Just get Janice how to win
with. He'll never go on camera right, for that. Three, where is the pewter? Who are the last survivors of the 3D printing invasion? Who is still doing pewter? No, sitting right here.
Well, there's not a few. But...
Four, meet your MP. Interviews with the War Master Rules committee members, who they are and what the community they represent.
Yeah. Oh, we've got a little bit of that coming today. Yeah. So well done, sir. Well done, Andrew.
Global overview of cities with an event scene. Cheers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. So we'll try and incorporate some or all of that next year.
Sure.
Some of it's coming today.
We can attempt them. Yeah.
How to win with? I don't know. That is a complicated... because it's not like, you know, like a normal GW game where you've got a codex and the codex just has entries that are completely fucking busted. Like signature units in an army say, oh, just spam fucking striking hawks or whatever the fuck the Eldar ones are called or whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Or whatever it is. There is nothing like that in Warmaster. Everything's roughly balanced.
But that is why it's such a good game.
Yeah. The Lego blocks that form an army are roughly similar.
Yeah.
So a knight is a knight is a knight. If you've got Command 9 with knights, you've got Command 9 with knights.
Yeah.
It's the same as everything. I can't say, oh, just spam Command 9 with knights.
Yeah. Because
it doesn't work. So it's about there's a lot more about synergy and tactics. And a little bit less about list building, I think. Yeah. There's certainly no way you can say this is how you win with... Well, all right, dwarves. This is how you win with dwarves. Sit in a fucking corner.
Well, have no scenario.
Barricade up and blast the living shit out of everything that tries to come near you.
Yeah. And have no scenario, so you don't need to do anything else.
Because, once you spread them out, it's a lot harder for dwarves.
It is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Two of you together, that's fine. But what if one of you is the monster?
Monster? We're British, you know.
Okay, we're back in the room and... Paul's going to tell us now about his Daventry. No, it wasn't Daventry. It was called the...
It is Daventry, but it's Battlefield Hobbies.
Battlefield Hobbies GT23.
Yeah.
Which Paul ran.
I ran, yeah. Yeah, and so...
2 day event?
What it turns out to be was the Saturday was casual gaming. And so that what that involved basically was Jim had turned up with the Kingdom of Ind, like list that he'd been working
India?
On. Ind. IND.
But they're not Indians then?
They are Indians, but in Warhammer, like there's the countries that didn't get much like.
I think have we discussed this before?
There's Nippon Cafe in the old, like in the
old world.
The old world is the old world isn't just the Empire, but like the entire map of the planet or whatever it is. There's some countries that never get much like fluff. Nippon Cafe in Ind is another one.
What? It's at the same level as those two?
Well, there's actually barely any fluff I could find about Ind. It's India.
To me, Nippon and Cafe were a stretch.
Well, this is more of a stretch. So, Jim has been writing lists that represent, this Warhammer Fantasy India. And we were playtesting them.
So, what's in the list? I know nothing.
So it was he had managed to find like its own unique flavour, and of course this is all like this isn't fit for release in terms of like he's not going to put the army list out there for quite a while.
I don't know if we've got really realistically. I don't know if we can go any further than we've gone. I mean, we can if people vote.
If people vote.
Of course. That's the point of democracy. But where do you draw the line is what I want to say. I mean, how many lists do people want?
So on like global maps, there is a place called Ind. Like it is there. And there's, though there is...
Right, but there's four different demon lists if you really want to.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, how far do you want to go?
Well, exactly. but there is, and I looked online and I could find barely any fluff about it. Because I wanted to start, I was like, well, who do Ind traditionally fight? And I was like, put up that question out in the Facebook group and got a couple of answers. So
who would they fight? Arabia? Yeah. I don't know.
No. They're a different part of the world.
Are they?
So
is it not connected?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Anyway, I took a Chaos Army, I took an Empire Army, and I took, what else did I take? vampire counts, I think it was. No, dark elves. I took three armies down, like, just for the flavour. And we had a couple of games, including one that was a real big game, a 4,000 pointer of Chaos versus Ind.
Yeah, but what is Ind? What is
humans.
Yeah, with what? Elephants?
Yeah, some elephants, yeah.
Bigger elephants, smaller elephants, the same elephants?
Same elephants. Like, everything in that list had had the same thing from some other list.
So the Lego block was the same as another Lego block?
Yeah, yeah. So and the spells were all copies of other spells. It's in a combination that isn't... because obviously the combination of what you must choose and what you have access to the army list has to be different, because otherwise it is literally the same army. But there wasn't anything... a unique stat line in there.
Okay, but from like ancient history, human ancient history, yes. Not GW history, yeah. Which lots of these things kind of cross over between, like Nippon Cathay.
Yeah.
They're not really GW history, are they? They're like human history that we've kind of brought in.
Yeah.
In the same way Bretonians kind of brought in a little bit of human history, and Araby are definitely like human history with a bit of fantasy added on the top.
Mm-hmm.
So Indians tend to be like kind of bowmen and spearmen, mixed, and that's it.
Yeah. So,
and then a bit of cavalry and some elephants. And
exactly.
What's the difference between that and like...
Oh, no, it did.
Between that and Araby.
Because, so he'd put in some demons into the army list.
Demons?
Demons, yeah. Like, as in like their own...
Indian demons.
Indian demons, yeah. Okay. Like, it was... It did not seem overpowered. It like the... You know, like there was a heavy core tax on cheap infantry, the typical he'd done his research of his history.
Yeah, it's
like
of where he's kind of historian.
Roughly, yeah, where he's roughly put in this army. Yeah, in it's like the normal Indian like soldier warrior was a guy with a bow, like no armored like guy with a bow.
But they were very famous for having mixed units.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they'd have bow units that would also have fighters behind them.
Oh, okay, right.
So if you could find a way of making a mixed unit where it's like bow on the front and some kind of infantry, so you fight as infantry but shoot as bow.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do that in Warmaster, but that is what they would be in my mind.
Yeah. So anyway, that was a Saturday. There was four of us there. That's right. Yeah, and we were playing. There were three of us there. We were playing the games. It was all very casual. Sadly, Janna's was meant to be there but got ill. Yeah, like so.
Well, that is this time of year.
Yeah. And I rather than drive, it was 2 hours there, like where we live, and so rather than drive 2 hours back and back again, like so 4 hours,
mm-hmm.
I stayed local and I stayed in a pub called the Hollybush Inn, which is one of a place about 10 minutes away. So if we ever are doing something in Daventry...
Because I remember you like saying that it wasn't a particularly nice area when you went there with Sherwin.
Oh, no, Daventry itself.
So you didn't go in Daventry, you went somewhere else.
So I 10 minutes drive away from Daventry into the countryside, right. Led to some village.
Yeah.
Where
the Hollybush.
And it was the Hollybush pub inn.
Right.
And I stayed in the pub. You know, I'd booked it already. And
slept on a bench.
A room,
okay.
What was hilarious about it, so I went there with, because one of the other guys that was playing there was like, he lived fairly close by, so he joined me for a meal there.
Okay.
And we rock up to this pub looks nice.
Yeah.
And I already booked it, so it's like, I have a room. And it wasn't expensive, like 65 included breakfast. And I was like...
Single?
And I was like, fine. So it's like, here I am in this pub, like, embrace it. And they said, right, okay, so the food tonight, we have a Chinese takeaway in the pub, like that's set up in the pub.
Right.
So that's the meal tonight, is a Chinese takeaway, order from them. And I was like, okay,
they give you the tray or they put on a plate.
No, it's like just and the entertainment is a
entertainment.
The entertainment is a David Bowie tribute band. So it was like, all right, that's what I'm doing tonight. So the Chinese, ordered the Chinese in the pub, and yeah, it took him a while to make it, but considering it was there, but it was fine. Yeah, like food was, and then afterwards, like I could hear the band word for word in my room. So I was like, I might as well go down and watch them. I was going to anyway, but I was like, there's no early night here. So it was like, yeah, I ended up watching this David Bowie tribute band, in some random place.
What were they called? You've been to watch tribute bands, so it's not, you're not a stranger to this guy.
No, I was just like, it's like, I'm not the biggest like David Bowie fan, but when it's like there's,
which era was he at?
They kind of did all eras, you know. Like,
he
wasn't dressed up. We were just doing the music.
Oh, he just wore his slacks, just like
casuals.
Didn't have the Ziggy Stardust.
Didn't dress up like him. Oh. Like, you know, just playing his music. Anyway, and many drinks were had.
Was it a band, or was he just with the band?
It was a band.
Oh, cool. I mean, that'd be all right.
I fell down some stairs and, like, hurt my ankle. Because I was drunk.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, when you're drunk and you hurt yourself, and you're like...
Doesn't really hurt,
but you know you have hurt yourself.
Yeah, in the morning it's going to really hurt.
Yeah, it really hurt the next day. It was like... Probably came close to breaking my ankle there. That was cool. But I if we ever are in Battlefield Hobbies doing an event or whatever, I would say that was a fun option. And plus, it was bloody freezing that night, and it was like, so you could have obviously gone and eaten somewhere else.
Are we talking log fires in the pub? Is that kind of stuff? Real ale?
Cask. It's like,
Nice.
So it was like, it was just nice. It's like I would much rather stay in a venue like that than some travel lodge.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, why wouldn't
or you? Or
unless you needed to sleep.
Well,
when the band's
on. I didn't really. But the room was fine after they finished. So anyway, we did a 1 day event on the Sunday.
How many players?
Eight of us.
Including you?
Including me. Yeah.
You got the lists or the?
I have the players and what they used, I don't have their lists.
Have you forwarded to Martin?
Yes, I did, and showed the information. Yeah, yeah.
Excellent, good stuff.
I think I did. Yeah.
So that means no. He said with such confidence. I'm sorry, rowing back. I'm sure I did. Somebody did.
Because I've been told that, like, because somebody had contacted me again internationally, that there was like that they had put in into Best Coast Pairings, which is a tournament app for many different systems.
What's it called?
Best Coast Pairings.
Okay.
They'd put in Warmaster into Best Coast Pairings. So I was like, oh, okay. And this is, and that's like its result page.
What's this? Just a Swiss tournament?
Yeah, yeah. I was prepared to run it like I'd always run these things on paper, but I'm like, let's see if this app works. So I put people's names into it. They had all the races, race they were using. And I was like, right, okay, like, let's do the pairing. It did the pairings for me as random. And then it would sort by, like, winners, default. So, and I was like, yeah, it worked 100%. The only thing...
How did you track the points?
So all my scenarios, like, if we were playing Winter Roller, so the scenarios obviously cap at 10. But you can win a scenario and have less points than 10.
Yes.
You know, so that's the only thing the app, like, obviously, because this app was not designed for use my... like events, is that it wouldn't accept a win from somebody if they had less points. Like, because in some of them you can, like, so you're playing like.
So in your Winter Roller, you can have less points and.
Yeah, because the.
Doesn't it cap? It's not a draw if I've got more points, but you.
No. So for example, say you're fighting Incursion or something and you're scoring on the objectives, but the game will end when you
lose your general.
When you lose your general, you're broken. So you're getting, and you get a bonus amount of points for doing that. But if you've sat on those objectives and I'm 8-0 up,
I score 4, you score 8, but I win.
Yep.
Okay. You've got 8, I've got 4 because I broke you.
Yeah.
I've got 9.
The person who broke the opponent won.
I thought, did he get promoted to 10 automatically?
No, because you can't. There's reasons why. Because if you promoted it to 10, it doesn't really matter. Like, is in only wins and losses matter?
It's only for the winner.
Yeah.
The other places are decided on the schedule or number of tournament points.
Number of wins and then tournament points.
Or whatever these points are.
But you, Warmaster, because of its system, is in like, what am I trying to say? Like, you have to force a game, you need a scenario.
Yeah.
But you also have to play the scenario, but also you have to not lose the game in the traditional ways.
Yeah.
You know, because they actually mean more. You know, so you've got to, like, I've got to hold these zones, but not...
So you have to track that manually is what we're saying.
One or two of the results I had to, like, artificially raise them to 10 points because they make the app, like...
Like I said, it was 4-8 and it wouldn't crash as a win.
It wouldn't, yeah, exactly. It would not. So I was like...
But if you built your tournament rules to fit this system, you just incorporate that into your system.
Yes, you could, yeah.
So you just say a win is always 10 or whatever.
Yeah. Or whatever. So anyway, that was, yeah, and it, I say, aside from that little thing, it worked really well. And yeah, it would avoid same pairings that had already happened. It was, yeah,
what you want.
You could pull every enemy switch on there, on it, and okay. Yeah, surprise.
So do you know who created it? Does it say?
Best Case Pairings. I don't know. I think,
oh, no, with this War Master section for it. Okay. Right, so you're going to tell us the players and the lists and stuff, or then who did what?
Okay, so I used Empire. Yeah, because nobody was using Empire, so I used an Empire list.
And vanilla?
Was
it a special list?
It's written right there. So, okay, so I used 6 halberdiers, an extra handgunner, 4 crossbowmen, of which 2 of them I upgraded to handgunners, a unit of flagellants, 2 units of knights, 3 units of pistoliers, 1 hellblaster, 2 cannons, a steam tank, a general, a hero on a griffin, 2 wizards, and then I spent some points on magic arms.
Yeah, 2 heroes.
2 heroes, yeah.
1 on a griffin.
1 on a griffin, and then 2 wizards. And I spent some points on magic arms, I can't remember. Like, we can't
spells cross.
Did I? I can't remember. He's in. Yeah, like, I just filled up the end point, the last.
Sword of Fate, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, for the 5 points.
Whatever. Like,
Rod of Repetition.
That was was the units. Yeah.
Or the Wand of Power and a Dispel Scroll is what you've probably done.
So, Adam Palmer used Goblins.
The Bobblins!
Rob Palmer used Kislev. James Baker used Chaos. Paul Godbold used Beastmen. Murray Palmer used Araby. Jim Beach used Araby as well. And Tony Hale used Ogre Kingdoms.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
spent no elves?
No, no one actually had an elf army.
No leadership 10 at all?
No. I suppose I could have used Dark Elves instead of Empire, but I didn't.
No leadership 10?
No, there's no leadership 10 out of those 8 players. Yeah, we played 3 rounds, and I can talk about my games. Yeah, like, so first round I was drawn against Tony, who used Ogre Kingdoms. And
you got quite a lot of shooting, haven't you?
Yeah, but it's like, there was, but Tony had brought a really tiny Ogre Kingdom, a Breakpoint 8 Ogre Kingdoms army.
That's
and he had
tiny?
And he had 2
8's big.
Well, and he had 2 units of Rhinox Riders.
Yeah, well, that's where the problem's
come. Yeah, and so I was, his army, he made a mistake of, like, it was one of the scenarios which had, it was incursion, so 3
and one disappears.
One disappears. And he didn't contest one of them. And I was just like, well, yeah, I did point out to him what would
happen. How many commanders did he have? 2?
2.
Well, that's why.
3? I don't know. He did not have.
You can't tend to have a lot. That's where it gets.
So I, like, dashed forward with my pistols to capture the one he wasn't anywhere near contesting. And I was like, so, unless he, and then I was like, right.
Unless he breaks you, he's going to lose.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I'm going to sacrifice a unit out there, a unit just to hold that thing, and then put that all tick up. Anyway, through kind of bad play by me, I kind of blocked my own cannons from shooting most of the time. It was a bit weird. I was in, like, what am I doing here? Why? But because I was, like, trying to shuffle room on my battle line. I was like, somehow I'm blocking my own cannons. And I had to react to a unit of gorges appearing in, like, scenery.
Ambushing.
But didn't fail their second order to come out. Like, as in, they appeared. And so I was like, I've got to react to that.
Which then just got annihilated by the cannons.
But they were dealt with.
Yeah.
Something I didn't understand with Tony is he had a unit of saber tusks, like a single unit, so they're the new addition.
Chaos. Yeah.
I just sent them off on their own, and they just got completely blatted by. They ran right into the front of all my guns, and I just shot them. I was like,
the problem is somebody's got to get shot.
Yeah, I just didn't really understand why he did that.
Somebody's got to get shot.
Anyway, there was a situation where he had his 2 units of Rhinox Riders, and I had my 2 units of Knights, and he failed to engage mine. I was like, better to charge than
better to charge.
So I sent my knights in, and I would happily exchanged a unit of knights for a stand of Rhinox Riders, as in, like, to make them harder to command.
Yeah, but on the charge, it's not that different.
Well, actually, I ended up winning that fight.
Because if you did the charge, you're getting 4 attacks with 4 of Palmer, and he's got 5 attacks with 5 of Palmer.
Yeah, yeah, so.
So, I mean, I'd probably say the knights are favourite.
Well, and they did, and they came through for me. So
he lost 440 points of Rhinox Riders.
I think I left 1 unit, 1 stand or something, and, like, when I disengaged.
And worst case scenario, you've given away, like, most of 220 points.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's fannied now.
But I won that game via objectives.
And cannons.
No, I just say, like, the cannons did not, because I...
Well, he must have been giving you something to shoot occasionally. He's not getting some, is he?
Yeah, I blocked my own fire most of the time. Honestly, I was like, this is bad play by me. But I found, I played the scenario. Cool. So then my second round was against James Baker, who used a chaos list. He used a chaos list with, it was character-like. So that was meeting engagement. And he was and he'd gone for a general with two wizards, both on chaos dragons. So it's
like the wizards are eights, aren't they? They're just
yeah, yeah, but their command distance 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, his command was not was lacking. Yeah, and I played on that. Yeah. So
hang on, how much? He must have been nearly 600 points in characters then.
Yeah. And so he had again, I know I said quite a small chaos army. Some knights, some chariots, marauder horsemen, obviously the core infantry, and he had a couple of spawn as well. Anyway, the meeting
engagement... Your brain must have been like six or something.
I think it was like eight again. Was it? Yeah, like, anyway, with that in that game, the meeting engagement, he came out with a better setup than I did.
Right.
He was again, pretty much... So he was pretty much... We ended up going... Our battle lines were created essentially long ways down the table because of the way we'd rolled it. But his stuff was clumped together while mine was quite spread out. So I spent most of the game, my general was just trying to bring my two brigades back into the fight.
So you're playing along the long side?
Oh, no. So because you roll for, the table's divided into sixes. Into
right. Seven.
So it's two L's. That's how it had fallen.
Right.
But his stuff had ended up clumped together in one L. Mine was quite spread out.
But your coming could be a long way away from his stuff, potentially.
It could be, yeah. And but when he committed one of his dragons, I just made sure I did everything I could to kill that unit. So when that died,
yeah, the general and one wizard.
General and one wizard. That was really costly for him. It was difficult for him to command his army. And again, that game, the cannons did like do me proud. That one, they got a good.
Did
fight.
They survive?
They did survive.
Both games.
Both games, yeah. Ooh. So they got some good shooting off, like every turn, and that was cool. It was like I had to think my way out of a problem of like trying to bring my army back to like delaying actions. I'd use the pistoliers, I'd won the scouting, so my pistoliers had gone out to like hold him back, and did a good job of holding him back. I just said that his character selection, like he needed a hero. Or two in there. You needed to trade some of the more expensive units in for some cheaper stuff and more characters, actually.
Okay. Well, I don't think three is that bad. Maybe one of them should have been in a hero instead of a wizard.
But two wizards, yeah. And so that led... So, won two games. So that led me to playing in the little final, which was against Adam Palmer's Goblins.
Goblins.
And he had a fantastic 3D printed army where it's halflings and gingerbread men. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, so it's like the halflings are goblins, the gingerbread men are trolls. It worked.
I'm sure.
Yeah, it worked. I was like, I could tell where everything was.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
very Christmassy.
Yeah, so that one. So Battlefield Hobbies had we started at 9, but Battlefield Hobbies had a kick out of 5 o'clock. So that last scenario, and I hadn't timed the game, so I just let them play because I was, so that last scenario, the last round, we actually did as 1,000 points. Because they fitted it in.
Right, to fit it in.
Yeah. And I played Adam. So we broke our armies into 1,000 points. Like, from what you've got, choose 1,000 points.
That's a good idea if you're in a rush.
Yeah. That actually really worked. So, and we played Incursion, so two circles. And so we're playing a tournament game. We have a
it's tournament. It's not three and one disappears.
Oh, no, sorry. That's three. Two zones, two objects, two circles.
Like the two bigger ones.
Two bigger ones, yeah, okay. Whatever that's called. So we're playing a tournament game, with 1,000 points and a tournament scenario, and it actually worked really well, actually. And Adam's a quick player, right? But we smashed that game out in under an hour.
Good. Well played.
And it was, I was surprised because I was like, actually, Warmaster works well at 1,000 points. I'd rather play 2,000 points. In terms of like,
if you only got an hour, you can't play 2,000.
Exactly. But I was like, this works just as well. Like, it's just like, I was like, actually, that was really good. Because it comes right down to, individual units then. And like, when you start off, like, both of us were like breakpoint, like 5 and 6.
Yeah.
It was just like, right, this really matters.
Did the trolls work better with their new rules?
Oh, yes, they did. Yeah, they did. They were doing things, they were getting somewhere.
Yeah. And fucking shit up when they get there, no doubt.
But I like, because it's such a small game, I was like, I'm going to have to ride my luck, obviously.
You didn't take the full cannons, then?
No, I didn't take cannons at
all. Yeah, because one cannon's not doing anything.
No, but so I was like, I'm going to... Yeah, my game plan went from, I'll do this scenario, so then I'll actually break him instead. Because I was like, right, I'm doing this scenario, and then I was like, I had an opportunity to go after him. And he'd taken, because the goblins can take 4 units of bolt throwers, so he'd taken 2. And I was like, I've got to deal. And I ended up storming these bolt throwers by 2 different angles. I was like, as in attack them from 2 ways, so then I could get some guys into them to beat them up.
Right.
Yeah, and that's how I handled it. Yeah, but it was a great game. It was like I was pleasantly surprised that it was competitive.
Cool. So you won. Well done, sir.
So I got 3 tens and won my own. Yeah.
Won my event.
There's nothing to win. Yeah, like but I got
the kudos, sir. The kudos.
Yeah, but I got a shout out to Battlefield Hobbies. Like the price of it. So it was unbelievable. Now, like,
that's not normal price.
Yeah, no, but like, so to play there for the day is £2.50.
It is ridiculous.
So, the guys that like, the guys that were there Sunday, the event cost £2.50 each.
But if you wanted to hire the venue, I'll tell you, it's £5 a day and £5 for lunch. So if you do a weekend, you can get 2 days and 2 lunches for £20.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Which is cheap.
So cheap. It is cheap. It's like you almost felt bad that how cheap that was, in terms of like, but equally they wouldn't like, they had a Malifaux event on the Saturday. So I'd been warned off like they might be too busy, but it's not at all.
But it's not big enough to do a big event, is it? Really?
No, I suppose not. But like
the epic events or the Warmaster event or that kind of level, 24 players, it can't do much more than that. It really would get out of hand.
I suppose. I don't know. But I was just like, it was, I mean, I think it's a lovely venue and it's like, exactly.
The story behind the venues are absolutely brilliant. I love it.
It's like
they do like events at the weekend,
uh-huh.
And they just had this area that they made into a gaming area, and then just made it into a shop.
Yeah,
it's like just completely random. It's like you're going in an industrial estate, and there's this big workshop.
Yeah.
It's a warm, gaming space.
It was damp. It was cold outside, but it was warm inside.
It's brilliant. I like the venue.
Yeah,
but. Yeah,
I mean, for that price, it's just you cannot complain at all. Yeah, as in like, well, what's £2.50 nowadays? You can't even buy a drink for that.
No.
Yeah,
but still, yes,
that's the whole day. That wasn't like
no, that's not one game. That's not table fees for an hour or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to buy a milkshake every hour or whatever. Listen, I don't want to buy a milkshake every hour. Don't be ridiculous.
So yeah, and I won 3 out of 3 with Empire.
Do you want to read the results and then we can move on to the next session?
So I came first. Adam,
well done, sir.
Yeah, Adam came second because he had 2 tens and a 4. A set of goblins, and then Rob Palmer, his dad came.
Were you doing locked in on the final table anyway?
Yeah, we're locked in. So, and then Rob Palmer came third with his Kislevs. Yeah.
And then fourth, James
Baker. Yeah.
Fifth, Paul.
Yeah.
Sixth,
Murray. Seventh, Jim. And eighth was Tony.
Okay, well played, fellas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today. Soft foam, hard cases.
Okay, back for the final section. We are talking about Warmaster Rules Committee. The bin men have arrived. That's always good on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be talking about what is the Warmaster Rules Committee? Or Warmaster Revolution Rules Committee, or whatever we want to call it. Warmaster Revolution...
Rules Committee?
There was another word that got put in there at some point, and then Revisionary Rules Committee or something. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk a little about who's in that committee, what it does, when it does it, and how to get in touch with them.
Okay.
So, it's been running about 5-6 years now.
Yeah.
Ever since Alish did his major works in incorporating ancients into the Warmaster system and creating revolutions.
And then
there was a lot of work around the army list that then needed doing, because lots of the changes to the core rules meant that the army list kind of needed a little bit of attention, let's say.
Yep.
And some of them, because there used to be like 3 sets of army lists. There were the official lists, about a dozen or so. There was some tournament lists for whatever reason. There's about six or eight of those, and then there's some experimental lists, another six of those. So to get all those into one coherent set of lists, I think it's 25 roughly, 25 usable lists. I think that's the number. And over the period of the last 5 or 6 years, we spent our time kind of chiseling away the rough edges.
Yeah.
It's not perfect.
No, nothing. And it never will be.
Never will be, because as soon as you think you've solved the puzzle, something comes up you didn't experience or didn't expect and changes the puzzle.
Yeah, exactly. And there are some things that you would clean up in War Master, but there's only so many changes you can make each year. For example, like I was using Empire cannons. Like the event we spoke about, the rules for cannons are silly with about the 5 centimeter bounces.
They do need to bounce, but I don't know about direction of bounce.
You could clean up those rules so much easier. Yeah, to like is in you know this.
Issue is with the direction of bounce, isn't it? What's the issue with anything else?
Well, no, it doesn't need. You don't need to have this. So yeah, I always favour my opponent with it in terms of. So this unit's shooting at this unit, where do the bounce throughs happen?
So if it's roughly in the front in column, I'm getting 8 shots. Yeah, and if it's not, I'm getting 4 and 2 behind the 2.
Yeah, and
I ain't interested in getting laser measure out.
Exactly, because it's badly written and I favour my opponent. So you would change that with a very simple thing of like, you hit a unit in the front, if it's got a flush unit behind it, as in like it's all taken, it bounces through to them.
People start like just offsetting slightly so it doesn't bounce.
That isn't what War Master is about.
Now go with me, right? Because this is the problem that I'm saying. You pull a strand thinking you solved it, but all you've done is create another fucking problem. Okay. So what if I have a unit in line on the front?
Yeah.
And then behind them, I have a unit of line, but offset. So the left-hand side...
Hello.
Okay, so I'm going to have to edit that bit out, but you've got a unit in line, and then behind it, you've got another unit in line, but offset one to the right.
Yeah.
So the left-hand stand is under the middle stand.
Right, yeah, I get it.
And then behind that, you go back, and they're all with the left-hand side. What happens on your bounce principle now? Because there's nothing fucking behind that first stand.
But they are not, if they get into combat, they're not supporting.
They're still in formation. They still move normally. But now you've made the cannons half as effective.
I suppose, but yeah.
People will, you've done it. Like Raise Dead.
Yeah.
Raise Dead's coming round again and again and again and again. And this ship's going to come round again. The number of times Raise Dead's been rewritten and somebody finds another way of cheesing it.
So what's the flaw in it now?
We can pull other units in. So say you've got a combat, and nearby you've got another combat, and you want to make it one big ass combat. So you use your raised data chain across the combats and link the fuckers up.
Ah, clever.
You sneaky bastards. So, can't you just play the game with like a gentlemanly swing? Yeah, it's not crooked.
Something I did, I wanted to make sure, because the only bit of like War Master rules, I think core rules, I'm just a bit confused, is when you have a combat from multiple directions over which
one. I always treat it in my opponent's favour.
So I reread the rules, I went through it with Jim, and I was like, I'm 100% clear on it now.
What if it's in 3 directions?
It's just done by unit by unit.
Unit by unit. And what if they can't? This is the problem.
They die. Basically, most of the. If you are in War Master, if you hit in the front, or if you hit two sides, you're in real problems.
So
because if it's more, if one unit's hitting two different sides, it won't matter.
But what
too
if
much.
There's two units and one's hitting the front and one's hitting the side?
Yeah, so
and they're behind each other.
Exactly,
in a world
exactly.
Of pain.
So the unit behind is one of your units. If you lose that fight, is probably going to die because they won't be. Able
you
to
choose
make
which way they move, but neither of them can move.
There's no choice in terms of like it's the most it's done by
no but you choose which order they move.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
But there is no choice that's good. It's
so
like
gonna
bad choice and bad choice.
Yeah, exactly, because once they're pushed back and they're in combat, they can't make way and the other one.
Well, this is one of the ones we need to do a video about, because when I'm playing somebody, I just allow them to do what they would do.
Yeah,
so I've seen all kinds of I've seen people moving diagonally.
Yeah, I am right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's nowhere clear, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, exactly. I just let them do it, and then It's not at the end of the day, I mean. You're getting fucking banged from both sides. You're going to end up dying anyway. Just speeds it up.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. The two areas in the game, if I could go back in time and say, please don't do it this way, let's find a different way. It's like drive backs.
As in the physical movement of models.
Yeah. And getting blown off the table. Okay. Yeah, like elephant, Stegodon's getting blown off the table for 20 centimetre drive back. It's not that hard to get driven back 20 centimetres. On an unlucky dice roll. Yep. You can do it on four dice.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the movement during combat.
Yeah, that is, well, unless drive backs is less a problem, but yeah, movement, you would not have been pushed.
Well, drive backs not a problem if you're undead.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose. No, you never make way. But like, yeah, no, but being driven back from combat after fighting for another rounds, yeah, is, yeah.
Because that is the, when you do things like you say, oh, you can't make, put birds within a centimetre and all this. You're really just dealing with the movement in combat issue. You're not the birds is a symptom.
Yeah, exactly.
The issue is the movement in combat. And when you try and teach somebody the game, you say, oh, well, but in this situation, this happens, and in this situation, this happens, and then, oh, but what about in this situation? Oh, I hadn't thought about that. And you go, this is why people, like, used to spend hours and hours playing a game of Warmaster, because you're discussing the fucking intricacies of the rules all the time.
Exactly.
You're not actually playing the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that those two areas are the big issues in the game for me.
Yeah, and I agree. And well, I'd say one is more an issue than the other.
Okay, but and neither of them are changing, unfortunately, because I think the game is what it is. If you went into the successor games that we've talked about a few times, the kind of black powdery stuff, I'm pretty sure the combats don't move. Mm. And I'm pretty sure drivebacks don't happen either.
I don't know. Like,
I'm pretty sure they don't. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure you just take morale markers, you become shake and then eventually you'll run away rather than stands come off and you get pushed back. And I'm 100% sure the combats don't move because that's where all the difficulty comes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then it would be a different game. So when I've tried to, going off on a little bit of tangent, I'm still playing with the Napoleonics thing.
Okay.
And I don't know whether to try and make it like War Master, but then you're bringing all that nonsense of the combats again and movement. Mm. And drive backs.
Yeah.
And shooting is like off the fucking scale in Napoleonics. It's not like in fantasy where shooting's just like trivial.
Yeah, but that is a game where people have got muskets like that.
And lots of cannon.
Yeah, yeah, but it's like they're shooting each other rather than going into bayonet charges are rare.
Exactly.
And most of the time a bayonet charge resulted in the other one just giving up.
So you've got a unit of Napoleonics,
and
I've got a unit, you're French, I'm English, we stand about fucking 40 yards away from each other and blow the living fuck out of each other.
That's right.
So how do you do drive backs?
Well, you don't, do you?
Because you'll be fucking driven back. There's no armour.
You can't. Well, but you're,
there's no armour, say.
Yeah, but you're taking hits.
There's hits. Yeah. You've got 3 hit points each. You're Warmaster.
Yeah.
There's no armour.
No, not for that, yeah.
No.
No one's got a save, yeah.
So you're rolling, even say you're rolling, and then you're not just going to roll one dice, are you? All you're doing is shooting. Everybody's shooting. So then you... How do you do the drive backs are just ridiculous.
Yeah.
The armies will be getting blown all over the fucking pitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, like, with Napoleonics, it's like, you know, they stand in those lines until there's barely anybody left. Yeah.
And then charge to finish it off.
And they can't see each other. That's the point. The thing is, that's the thing you can't replicate, is in, even though you're firing, you're standing 50 yards away, you can't see each other after a few rounds because those muskets kick out black smoke and they can't see each other. Smoke of battle. It's why they have the flags. It's like we're actually still here.
I think Warmaster at its heart is a melee game with a little bit of a garnish of like ranged.
Yeah.
Which just kind of disrupts really and confuses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Napoleonics becomes something completely different. It's more like a ranged game, like a 40k kind of, we're just shooting the shit out of everything. And then occasionally there'll be a bit of combat or a bit of like cavalry goes in to kind of do something.
But again, it's like, again, most of the time it's like cavalry is like threatens the units to stop firing as much. So they go into their squares.
And
then they have to be taken apart by other infantry or cannons because the cavalry can't.
Yeah, but how would the drive back work against a square?
You can't have that mechanic.
You can't, can you? Because you can't drive back a square. It's either going to fall and run away.
It stands there and just gets annihilated. Yeah,
because breaking the square just means you die.
Yeah, exactly. Like, as soon as the infantry unit is broken, it's run over by cavalry immediately. Like, in terms of, like, and it's gone. It's combat ineffective.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So Warmaster in its heart, I don't think it would work, Napoleonics. I think trying to use Warmaster is probably a kind of something that's not going to happen. So then you go to one of the successors, And the problem with those games is they become too, like, friendly, too gentlemanly. The rules can't be pushed. Oh, no, you've played, like, Black Powder and stuff.
You'd really struggle to play that in an event.
Oh, you really struggle to play that competitively. You've just got to be kind of laughing along. I'll move to here and just point.
It's like, have my brandy.
For all three die. Oh, yes. Oh, tell you all.
The 95th Rifles will do this. Oh.
So that, maybe Napoleonics is just a difficult era to replicate, and why people have to abstract it.
I think you can do it. Like, but your first question is what do you want? What do you want? What are you trying to design, and how do you want it to be different? Because I think, to be honest, Black Powder for Napoleonics does it fantastic. The only thing it doesn't represent is the fog of war, because it can't. But you actually do finish that game. So, you know, why not just how do you make it better than Black Powder for Napoleonics?
Well, you were trying to bring more of the War Master element into it.
I understand, but I don't think you can do it.
Yeah. I think that's probably what Rick and Jervis, who were designing it, realized that it's like this game can't be competitive, and there can't be all this movement and stuff in combat, because it just doesn't work. There's too much firepower. It's like if you built an army of War Master that was all archers, or you give them like two shots each or something. Yeah. Or we got a delivery. We're never going to get this episode finished.
I need you to come pick me up, all right? I got bit by fucking disease, dog. God damn it.
Right, we had a delivery then. So now we've got to get back on track, because I was wandering off on a tangent. Yep. So let's stay focused.
Okay.
So we are going to talk about the members of the committee.
Yep.
So who have we got, Paul? You've got a list in front of me. I can't see that far. I'm going to read them out.
Is that current?
No.
So what? Well,
if you say everybody on there, then I'll thank the two that have left. This is the list, list that was published.
Barry Pittman.
Okay, UK.
Alice.
So you've got to say where they're from, sir.
Oh, UK.
UK.
Alice Navril.
Oh, I'm chairman as well, by the way.
Czech Republic.
He's vice chairman.
Yep. Yeah. Dave Suko,
Cisco, USA.
Chris Orr.
Vice chairman. I need to say the vice chairman.
Okay, right.
He's also the guy behind the War Master app, the builder.
Chris Orr, UK vice chairman.
He's the guy behind the War Master Trade Forum and the Experimental Forum.
Nathan Hargreave, Australia.
I need to say thank you to Nathan. He was in the team, but now he's gone. Thanks for your work and endeavours, Nathan. If somebody from Australia wants to get involved, then there is a vacancy from the Antipodeans? Is that the right name for them?
Don't know.
I'm sure it is.
Radomir Klavbach, Czech Republic.
He's a giant of a man.
Yeah, he's cool.
Giant.
Mm-hmm. Ole Hansen, Germany. Pauline Selavinian, Finland. Radoska Ratajczak, Poland. Polish. Tomasz Jakowicz, Polish. Poland. And Peter Getlick, Poland. Christopher Dingwell, Sweden. Martin Nielsen, Sweden. Jim Beach, UK.
Can we stop there? Because Jim Beach was with us for a long time, and one of the people behind the kind of impetus in the UK to get the game up and running again.
Mm-hmm.
And also he did the scouting rules.
Mm-hmm.
And he also worked on Cathay and Nippon, I think. And obviously in. But again, he's moved on as well this year. So thanks for your work, Jim.
Ian Standing, UK. Me, Paul Winter, UK. Matt Kolowski, USA. Michael Ivachnik, USA. Matt Tatar, USA. Chris Bennett, USA. Peter Lamb, USA. There you go. There's been some additions, haven't there?
There has. So we lost Nathan from Australia, and we lost Jim from the UK, and we replaced them through a election. Well, there was a nomination process, and then an election process, and we replaced them with Jan Zapatka from Germany. So that takes our German contingent up to two.
Yep.
And we also got Philip.
Yeah.
And is it Presser? No, that's a
Presser. Yeah.
He came to your LGT event.
Yep. Danish.
And he's Danish, so we now have a second Scandinavian country on board. So we've got Sweden, and now we've got Denmark.
Yep.
So that's excellent.
It is excellent.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. The more countries that are involved, the better. We've now got, we've gone down to four from the USA, four from the UK rather than the five we had. And we've got five from the USA. That's a little bit above where it should be, actually. Well, but we had to get 21 at the beginning.
You work with what you got.
That's exactly right to start it off. So I think there's a cap that means that realistically we can only have four from a country. So the UK won't be getting any more people because we've got our four. And should the USA lose a person, then that cap of four will become in place. Yeah. And then the next person will be from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the list of members. And how you get in touch with them is, one, Facebook, I guess, is probably...
Yeah, Warmaster Facebook page.
Two, if you're from a country, like, for example... The Czech Republic.
Yep.
Hopefully you know Alish and Rad. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Because if they're on the committee, hopefully they've got some kind of presence in the community of the country.
Well, they're not everywhere in that country, are they?
No, but you can contact them than Paul Winter. Yeah. Right, but probably not Paul because he's quite easy to contact. So hopefully they've got some kind of reach within their own communities. So you should be able to find them if you're from one of those countries. If you're not from one of those countries, like if you're from Spain or Italy, or then reach out using the Warmaster Facebook page.
Yep.
I mean, that's quite an active page.
Yeah, it's very active.
The other place to go to is the Experimental Forum.
Yep.
I think it's called the Warmaster Revolution Experimental Forum. Paul's going to pull it up and I'll read out the exact... WMR Experimental, all one word, .freeforums.net. Mm-hmm. And how that works, that is basically a sounding board for anybody to post up. You can be a guest, you don't even have to register to read it.
No, so. You don't. And a lot of the committee members post up stuff here as well.
They do. Mm-hmm. They do. Mm-hmm. Committee members do have to split their time between here and another forum.
Yeah.
One thing I would say is that not everything that gets talked about in here will get taken on into the main forum as because you need somebody to champion it. So we've discussed that process in the past. So people get involved on this forum. They say, oh, I like this idea. We discuss this idea, and then I'll try and take this idea forward to the rules committee, and we'll see where we get on. It's not a perfect system, but it's a whole lot better than the system we saw that Epic were using, which was there is no system. You just pray to the gods. Yeah. And the gods don't answer. The gods this year haven't answered.
Yeah.
We'll try praying next year. Yeah. It's like, next year we pray to the gods haven't answered. Sorry.
Are you still in a fight for your Epic? Are they finished up for the year, haven't you?
I guess I can go next year and win it again, but only if.
Well, you didn't even try to defend it this time.
That's because I don't want to be a vain person, but I spent quite a lot of time and effort with Epic, and I suggested there was a set of miniatures done by, what was it? Who's the guy that got his hands burned a couple of times? Anklo.
Forest Dragon?
No,
Anklo miniatures?
Yeah, the guy that's just recently done the Nurgle Warmaster stuff.
Anklo.
Anklo. So he did Demon Hunters?
Yes. Yeah.
And they got pulled down.
Yeah.
And everything got refunded. And I think it happened on another one. But the Demon Hunters, there was no list for Demon Hunters in Epic.
Mm.
So I picked a really benign list and I kind of did it in exactly the format they wanted and everything. Uh-huh. And I submitted it multiple times, not just once, multiple. And I even gave it in person to people.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. Could you have a look at it, please? And I got no communication back.
That was great. I was like, really?
Yeah. I took time and effort. I spent maybe 20 hours developing this fucking list and putting it out and doing it and doing all the research and then not even as such much as like a acknowledgement of the message or nothing. It's just like, that's poor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you won't get that with Warmaster. You might not get to speak to everybody all the time because like real life exists.
Yeah.
People have jobs and lives and kids and so you can't. But people don't have time to sit on forums all day every day.
No, they don't. Yeah,
they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I've struggled with Facebook a little bit. It's because that fucking thing is non-stop. If you start logging in, the thing is just like a nonsense machine that just throws nonsense at you all day.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know how much time you spend on Facebook. But
no, I mean, yeah,
but it draws you in and draws you
it's
in.
It's a tool to something, but with Warmaster, compared to a lot of other game systems, there are only a few places where there is like the community is. So that's good because it's all centered in one place.
Yes.
Like, you know, as in, and if you were doing one thing, it's the Warmaster Facebook page.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Like, which is good because it's not like there's not 10 Facebook pages.
Yes.
You know, like there's one and that is where, and people are quite responsive on there.
Okay. So Go there. Mm-hmm. If you want to buy and sell stuff, go to the War Master training.
Training, yeah. Which you'll soon find by because you'll get directed onto.
You'll get directed on. And Chris will, he's behind that. He's got like tools that tell you how much shit's worth. And instead of that, I found a unit of slan. How much are these worth? Well, look at the bloody list. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're not as worth as much as you think. Yeah. But some of them are. Some of them are. And the final place is the experimental forum.
Yeah.
And if you go to those three places with your, well, not the trading forum, if you go to those two places and you've got a good idea and you've thought it through and it's not like some new list that, you know, I don't know what a new list would be, a new list for something, then that's the place to get it heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
And get it sounded out. And if it's good, it'll be taken on.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And I'm aware as the chairman that, kind of, I have a different. You may see me as quite kind of brash and boisterous. This is not how I behave as a chairman.
Right.
I wear different hats. So when I'm a chairman, I'm like a referee. Mm-hmm. I don't wear this hat.
Mm-hmm.
I wear a different hat.
Yep.
So there's a tension between. I'm a small C conservative. I'm happy for the game to be at, like the. It was handed down, and we try and protect it as best we can, but. Keep it living,
mm-hmm.
but there's a definitely a tension between that and the, you know, new shiny stuff. Got to keep moving forward. Got to keep pushing. Got to keep pushing. New stuff.
Yeah,
like I mean, there's a lot of. I didn't know this because I don't. My hand's not on the pulse, apart from in our forum. There's a new Beastman list. I mean, how is there a new Beastman list? We did loads of changes this year. Ian,
is it?
I said, what?
I didn't know that.
What? There's a new list. And because Chris said to me, what about this new list? Are we going to bring it forward this year? I said, what new list? How is there another new list? Seriously, I think we made 6, 7, 8 changes to that list this year. How is there another list? So maybe the list is good enough to pass the voting committee. But I mean, my initial reaction was, what? There's a new Beastman list.
Okay.
Okay, well, there is. Well, obviously, there's a lot, and I don't mean to derogate the work that people are doing on the experimental forum, because that is what it's for. Go in there, get the conversation.
It also done an alternate team games list as well.
Oh, I didn't know.
So that's not the only one.
With my chairman town, A, this is good stuff.
And alternative witch hunter.
Shut up.
It's from the same person.
Okay, well, whatever. So it's good to get all these conversations started, and if they are, I promise you, if they're good enough, and the changes are merited.
Look,
and
someone's written a Stormcast list.
Brilliant. He can get to fuck. And it's not even the same universe, mate. You go take that with your space elf.
About to die when eight old world turns good. Up anyway.
Like, get to fuck. Fucking Stormcast. Tell them the hats fuck off now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's what this forum's for.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Don't expect everything in this forum to be taken up, or if it is taken up, to agreed with, because that's not how it works.
If we've
done like 6, 7, 8 changes to a list, how's that had time to bed in even? How have we even knocked the fucking wrinkles out of that? Surely even GW's like cycle is like 4 years, isn't it?
I guess so, yeah.
So you've got to give things time to bed down, and I know there's lots of pressures to do new stuff, like you've talked about in today in I mean, will IND get voted in? Would I vote for it? I certainly wouldn't vote for it.
You wouldn't? No matter what was presented.
No, I'm not interested in IND. We've got 25. I'm not interested in Kathy and Nippon, but that, I'm only one vote.
Okay, yeah.
So it doesn't matter, does it?
No.
No? It doesn't matter. And yeah, there's no waiting to vote. It's just one vote.
When is the voting season?
Well, that's the other thing. So Chris asked if we could delay it for a month, because I think it was the window started in January. So you have a proposal window that runs 21 days, and then a voting window that runs 21 days after that. So it runs about 6 weeks. But that kind of fell around about the time of the TriWiz, I'm guessing, was the issue.
Right, okay.
So Chris wanted it pushed back a month, so effectively the TriWiz would fall around the proposal window rather than during the voting window. Because in the voting window, the proposals are done. You can't change the proposals.
Yeah.
You can vote them down,
yeah.
but you can't change them. Once a proposal's been nominated and then seconded, it goes forward.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's how voting works.
Can it be delayed then?
What? Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay, right. So is it being?
Yes.
Yeah. Right, okay.
So Chris asked if we could do such a thing. I said, are there any objections? There are no objections, mm-hmm. so there's no reason to not delay it for a month. And then going forward, I think Chris is going to suggest that maybe we try and make that permanent if it works, because there was no reason to pick January in the first place. It was just a random date.
It was just a date, wasn't it? Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. the beginning of the year.
Yeah, beginning of the year.
So the one thing that would do is...
I don't think I have any massive to change, because I was really happy with the last year's changes. Okay. Like, with this year's changes. I don't have any massive.
The only thing that would do is potentially push back the release date of the updated army books by a month.
Yeah.
So instead of them coming out in March, they'll probably come in at April.
Yeah.
Doesn't really make any mm-hmm. difference. They'll still be valid for the whole year until the next year comes out, and it is what it is. And we've done some internal changes that there was like four different versions, levels we could give an army.
Like, oh, yeah, that was too
experimental, developmental.
Yeah,
whatever it is. So basically, it's like binary now. Yeah. You have a suggestion, you take your suggestion to the experimental forum.
Yeah.
Once it goes past there and goes into our domain, the rules committee domain, it's then like a binary choice. It's either this is either on or off. There's no, we'll put this in, but it'll be a test for a year and then we'll re-vote on it. It's either on or off.
Yeah.
It's like, because you can't have different versions of a list existing. Yeah. What do I use in a tournament? The experimental list, the developmental list, the bloody tournament.
It's either on or off.
GW don't give you, it's either on or off. So you either, the list, it gets voted in, the change, or it doesn't.
Yeah.
Then we move on. We can amend it and redo it next year if you want to, if you still have belief in it or whatever. So that's all going to stay the same. Cool. Next year, it's a binary on or off. I mean, there was some... Anyway, next year... I'm not going to talk about that. Next year, the army books, as I know, it won't be updated. There'll be a document that goes alongside it. But if Alice gets the time and inclination, then he can update his army books. They're his army books.
Yeah.
All we do is we produce a document of the voting and what we suggest should be changed.
Yeah.
How that gets incorporated into the army books is not really on our scope
as
the committee. We don't control that. Okay. Anything you want to say, Paul?
About the committee?
Yeah.
No, it's simply that if you're sitting here listening to this and you wonder, like, are other people out there thinking about it? Like, you should be happy, because there is a bunch of passionate people who are, like, for the benefit of the game and take the right attitude to the game and develop it in the way they see that is best to be done. So it is, because obviously... Somebody from the outside looking in would think, oh, Walmart is obviously a dead system, isn't it? Because it's like, GW hasn't supported it for a long, long time.
Yeah.
But it's like, but there is actually a group of like people who are really into the game and do push things, and they are made those changes.
I'll tell you what we need to do.
A way you can influence it.
Yeah. We need to do a video, like probably in the new year, like the first one or a pod. And it's like, but somebody going on YouTube say, how do you start a War Master?
Yeah.
The first thing you do is do not buy the rule book.
No.
Do not go onto eBay and say, oh, I found a rule book. It's only 10 quid. Yeah. It's just, you might as well chuck it in the fucking bin, mate.
Just for a shelf to look at.
Yeah, because the rule book now, the relevance of the rule book now with Revolution is non-existent.
Yeah, it's gone.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
Because the way you can influence the game is if you have a gem of an idea, like if you put it onto the experimental forum, it will get looked at and supported.
Yeah.
That is how, and if you have to have a gem of idea in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's 2/3. So if you've got 21 committee members, which we do,
yeah,
I need 14.
Yeah.
Or 2/3 of the amount that votes. Not everybody votes on not every committee member votes on every vote, because they might not. Be that bothered.
They're willing to be impartial.
There is no abstain option.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're either for or against. And if you don't vote, you abstain effectively.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So abstain is an option. It's not like a compulsory you have to vote on everyone, but most people vote on the vast majority of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like 90-95%, maybe even more for some people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, what I would say is don't be afraid to get involved. Get involved for sure. You can contact the podcast. We've got our own places. You can contact us by the warmaster.podcast@gmail.com or your Warmaster Podcast on the Facebook page.
Yep.
Do you get a copy of that? Facebook
no.
Page? No. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's probably one.
That's on you.
Oh, good luck. So if I've got three Facebook profiles.
Yeah.
I've got Warmaster Podcast, Blackgate Miniatures, and Barry Pittman.
Yeah. Yeah.
I only really see Barry Pittman.
Yeah.
So I don't even know there's messages in the other two.
Yeah, there you go.
So, and I don't even go to Barry Pittman very often.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul's really easy to get hold of on... He's everybody's friends on Facebook.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or contact us at warmaster.podcast@gmail.com. Or you can... I guess you can contact us via the YouTube page.
Yeah, yep. Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things I thought about. We might store our back catalogue of podcasts on YouTube. Because...
If we can do it,
that doesn't cost anything.
Oh, then we should do it.
But you can't really just listen to it. Yeah, but at least it's somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah.
At least there is. It's not going to die.
You can do it as a video that it just plays with a picture of Warmaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. I'd have to make sure there's no music involved.
No, just a picture of Warmaster.
No, because in the early episodes we had like proper music.
Oh, okay, right. Mm-hmm.
There was some crazy song you had about a vampire, I can't remember.
Vampire Scar,
yeah, that was it.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. All right, okay, so that might be the last one of the year, I don't know. Might not.
Yeah, I could have fit in a game, wouldn't it?
It's possible. I mean, it gets very busy in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Especially when the kids break up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, that was Warmaster Podcast episode 185 with Paul and Barry.
All right, see you later.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Merry New Year.
Would you like to know more?